Deuteronomy, if you'll take your Bible and turn there, Brother Azzarello, I certainly appreciate your challenge from the Word of God, and it sure has been a pleasure to meet you and your wife, and it's an honor to partner with you in the ministry. Tonight we're going to begin a study through the book of Deuteronomy. We'll be going through just highlighting some truths in this book, the book of Deuteronomy. What do you know about the book of Deuteronomy? Well, let's see. Well, we know it's the name itself means the second law or the second giving of the law, Deuteronomy. That's what the name means. We know that it's within the first section of Scripture that we call the Pentateuch. So I don't even know what that means. Well, it means five writings. It's the five writings of Moses. The Bible in the Old Testament really is divided into three main sections, and I want to give those sections to you. Now, you can divide them even down further, but the first 17 books of the Old Testament are historical. It starts with Genesis and goes right on through to the book of Esther, and those are the books of history. Now, within that, of course, you have the law, and that's the first five books, and we're going to get into this fifth book, which is the book of Deuteronomy. That's a bookend. That's the first side. The backside, well, they're not historical, they're prophetical, right? Starts with Isaiah, and it goes all the way through Malachi. Those are 17 books as well. Got 17 historical books, 17 prophetical books, and then right in the middle, you have five, some people call them poetical books, but they're experiential books. It's Job through the Song of Solomon. Well, you can break those two bookends, the 17, the historical books and the prophetical books, you can break them down to 5 and 12, 5, the Pentateuch, and then those 12 books from Joshua right on through to Esther. Those first nine books, well, that's children of Israel entering into the land. It's very important. There's great life lessons there, as we shall see when we study through the book of Deuteronomy. Someone may be asking, what are we doing studying a book so old? You know, what can we get out of Deuteronomy? Well, I'm going to tell you what Paul said. These things were written for our ensamples. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 11. And they're written for our admonition. Paul wrote over in the book of Romans in chapter 15, he said, you know, these things that were written aforetime, he said, they were written from the Scripture that we might have hope. See, we learn from these. There's great life lessons in the book of Deuteronomy. The book of Deuteronomy takes the law that was stated in those first four books, Genesis, and then you have Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers, and it kind of breaks it down and interprets some things for us. The book of Deuteronomy deals with that second generation. It's a transitional book. If you could just think with me for a moment, the book of Acts in the New Testament, the book of Deuteronomy is that way in the Old Testament. You wouldn't think of going from Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and then going into the book of Romans. Could you imagine doing that? So who is this guy who wrote this book? Who's this Paul character? We learn about him in the book of Acts. We learn about his conversion. We learn about his journeys and his missionary journeys, why he's writing to the church at Ephesus, at Philippi, right? Thessalonica, Corinth. And so what Acts is to the New Testament, the book of Deuteronomy is to the Old Testament. It's placed in the exact same place, and it serves the exact same purpose. It's a transitional book. You couldn't imagine reading Genesis and Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers and then going to Joshua. How did this happen? How did this new generation, right? Who's this guy? Who's this new leader? It's a transitional book from what? From the old generation to the new generation. That's what the book of Deuteronomy covers. It's a transition from the old generation to the new generation. For those that rebelled and murmured and said, and in disbelief, they said, we can't take the land. And because of that, God said, he swear by his own name, he said, you're not going to see the land. Those of you that are 20 years of old and older, you're not going into the land. Isn't that what he did? So we find that teaching in the book of Deuteronomy in detail. But it's not just about the old generation to the new generation, but it's going from the old land to the new land. The book of Deuteronomy is going to give instructions on how the children of Israel are to conduct themselves when they inherit the land of promise that God gave them. God has expectations for His people. Amen. Listen, not only now, God had them then. And He said, when you enter into the land, I'm going to give you some things that I expect you to abide by. And so He gave, it was a transition from the old generation to the new generation, from the old land of wilderness wanderings into the new land of Canaan, right? From the old leader, Moses, to the new leader, Joshua. Here in the book of Deuteronomy, we find that Joshua, or Moses rather, he said in chapter 3, as we shall see before we conclude here tonight, he said, Moses said, I'd like to see that promised land. I want to go over in it. And God said, don't ask me that anymore. You're not going. He said, that's mean. Well, you know, you talk to God about that when we get to heaven. I'm just telling you what God said. And he said, you're not going. He said, but I tell you what I do want you to do. I want you to encourage that young man, Joshua. And I want you to instruct him so that he can lead the children. And you know what? Moses did that. This man Moses now, I don't know what you know about Moses. Sometimes we only know about Moses what we've seen in maybe in a movie. Need to read this book and find out about this man. What a character. Amen? What a man of God. The Bible says in the book of Deuteronomy in chapter 34, you'll read it in this book, that he lived to be 120 years old. And it's very easy to really divide his life into three sections. Someone has said it, I think, perfectly. The first 40 years, Moses thought he knew everything. He was schooled in the finest schools of Egypt, wasn't he? He thought he knew everything. But in the second 40 years of his life, he found that he knew nothing. God said, I want you to go back, and I want you to tell Pharaoh to let my people go. And he said, who am I to go back? God, what? Who am I? They're going to ask me, the people back there, they're going to say, here comes Moses. What are you doing back here? Who sent you? Who shall I say sent me? And he said, you tell them that I am, has sent thee. Amen. Amen. So the first 40 years of his life, he thought he was something. But the second 40 years of his life, he found he was nothing. The final 40 years of his life, he found that God is everything. Amen? Amen. He got a hold of who God really was, and he ran with it. I wonder if you've ever done that. Has it ever dawned on you who God really is and what God has done in your life and what God wants to do in your life? Has that ever dawned on you? I pray that it has, and that you will allow God to fulfill his purpose in your life. And so the man Moses wrote this book. It's the fifth of his writings of the first five books of the Bible. It's a transitional book. It's a book that introduces us to the new. I want to take just a few moments and give you a little bit of a background to what this book's about. I like the way it starts. In Deuteronomy chapter 1, these be the words which Moses spake unto all Israel on this side of Jordan. Well, they've come up to Kadesh Barnea now. And it's time to cross on over. You may remember that they had come this way before. Yes, they had. We're getting ready to get a little history lesson here in these first three chapters. God's getting ready through Moses to kind of review some things and look back. As a matter of fact, the book of Deuteronomy breaks down this way, and I hope you'll, if you don't write this down, at least try to keep it in your mind. If you're like me, you better write it down. Amen. This is the way the book of Deuteronomy, I think, really lays out for us. In chapters 1 through 3, there's a look backward at the history of Israel. And when you read chapters 1, 2, and 3, and I've taken that opportunity to do it again this week, I try to read through a book 6, 7, 8 times before I preach it. Something that I learned from a man many years ago, and it just really helps. You know, it just gives you a decent handle on some things. Now, it doesn't give you, all that you'd like to have, but it does give you a little handle so that you can navigate your way through a book with some things that you pick up from your reading of it over and over, the repetition of reading it again and again. So those first three chapters look back, and if you'll read chapters 1 through 3, you'll see where Moses kind of reviews the history. And it's kind of bringing these people, this new generation that were very young at the time of these wilderness wanderings, and he's kind of bringing them up to pace. That's chapters 1 through 3, a look back at the history. Chapters 4 through 12 is an inward look at holiness. He said, you know, now that you're going into the land, God has some requirements for you too. Now, God has some requirements for your parents and your grandparents. They've perished and they've moved on. But that same God has some requirements for you too. You know, as I thought about that, I thought about how that we live in a time that it seems like that a lot of the young generation, and I'm not, listen, I thank God for the young people that are here tonight. Thank God for you. But I'm speaking in general terms right now. It appears that a lot of the young generation thinks that God doesn't really have any expectations of them. I want to tell you something. God has expectations of all of us. Even you. Amen. God expects us to live soberly and righteously. I'm talking about born again children of God. Soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. Now God expects that. So, well, I'm just 16. He still expects it of you. I'm 10. If you're saved, God expects you to live right. Amen. Listen, when God spoke through Peter and he said, let your conversation be holy, right? He said, your manner of conversation ought to be holy, for it is written, be ye holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. He wasn't talking just to adults. He's talking to saved people. Amen. God wants you to be holy. God wants me to be holy. God expects us to be holy. And so in chapters 4 through 12, the book of Deuteronomy, we'll see that, where God says, when you get in the land over there, now there's going to be some enemy nations over there. Are you listening? He said, the land's not going to be vacant when you get over there. There's going to be some folks living in the land, and I want you to live a certain way in their presence. That's what the book of Deuteronomy is about. He said, I'm going to give you some laws, and I'm going to give you some ordinances, and I'm going to give you some statutes, and I'm going to give you some precepts, and I expect you to carry them out when you get in Canaan's land, because they're going to be watching you. And I want you to live in a certain way so that when they see you, they will know that you're my people. Can I tell you, it's still the same way today, brethren? It is. God has expectations of me, but now God has expectations of you as well. God expects some things out of his children. And I'm glad that he does. You know, I don't want to be one of those kind of fathers that lowers the expectations of my children, now my grandchildren. I want to raise the expectation. It just seems like we expect so little out of people today. We almost applaud them for doing, listen, the mediocre. I don't want to applaud mediocrity. Amen. Expect some things out of people. Expect some things out of your children. Expect some things from your grandchildren. Expect some things from your pastor. And I, as a pastor, will expect some things out of you. Because God expects some things out of all of us. And so God help us to live up to the expectation. Now, I'm not trying to live up to some expectation so that I can get to heaven. I'm going to heaven by the grace of God. We're all going to heaven by the grace of God. But because we are going to heaven and because God has been so good to us, well, it's just our reasonable service that we should serve him. Isn't that right? Sure it is. And so the scripture says here, and we take a backward look and see the history in chapters 1 through 3, but in chapters 4 through 12, we ought to take an inward look and decide, by the grace of God and with the help of the Holy Spirit of God, I'm going to live a holy life. I want to live a sanctified, consecrated life of holiness unto the Lord. God expects that. And then in chapters number 13 through chapter number 30, there's a forward look at the heritage. This God says, I'm going to show you what's lying ahead for you. Thank God, God has some things in store for his children. Aren't you glad for that? I'm glad that this life is not all there is. And we'll see that when we get into the study. The children of Israel had some things to look forward to. God had given them a heritage. As a matter of fact, if you look down into your Bible, God, he told them, those folks, he said, listen, he said, you've been around here long enough. It's about time for you to get up and start moving toward what I have given you. It's time for you to possess what I've given you. Look, if you would, in your Bible. Let me back up just a little bit. In chapter 1, verse 1, he said, these be the words which Moses spake unto all of Israel now. I like that. Not just to the leaders. not just to the judges. And he laid out some how that God had told Moses, I want you to set up some orders, some captains over 1,000. He did this in chapter 1 on over in verses 11 and 12 where he said, I was under a heavy load and God told me to get some structure so that we could move forward with some organization. But he said, I'm speaking this to all the people. Now there may be somebody sitting under my voice tonight, maybe here, maybe watching live stream. I don't know, that may think, well, you know what? I think there ought to be God speaking to the preacher. I believe God ought to speak to the preacher. I believe God ought to speak to a deacon or a Sunday school teacher. Well, if you're saved, God will speak to you. Amen. Yes. See, God wants to speak to you. God has something for you to do. That's right. So, preacher, I think God's done with me. Well, we'll be having your funeral before too long. Because when God gets done with us, he calls us home, brethren. Say amen with me now. See, we've got this thing. Somehow we've got off course here. And we think God's just going to leave us here to do what we want to do. God didn't save us to do what we wanted to do. God saved us because he has a job for us to do for him. Amen. And when we try to set that aside and we say, now, God, I'm going to do it my way, that's what happened to that old generation. They said, well, you know, God told us to go into the land and to inherit it, but we think we better get us about a man, about 12 men, and send over there and just see if God was right. God's always right. Amen. You don't have to check God out. Amen. You don't have to prove God. God's always right. We get in a bad way when we try to prove God now and say, well, God, we better just make sure that you meant what you said. He said, I told you to go inherit the land. Go possess the land. They sent the men over. You know the story. 10 came back and said, we don't think we can do it. We'll get to that in a moment. But we mess up. So these are the words in verse 1. These are the words, these be the words, which Moses spake unto all Israel. What are those words? Well, look down, if you would, in verse number 3. It came to pass in the 40th year, in the 11th month. You know, what happened? Look at verse number 2. It says in verse number 2, there are 11 days' journey from Horeb by the way of Mount Zion into Kadesh Barnea. 11 days. But 40 years later now, all right? 40 years later, see, something happened. And Moses is taken aback and he's saying, listen, I'm not trying to bring up sour grapes here. I just want you to know something. God doesn't tolerate disobedience and disbelief. And God will allow you to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. And God will allow you to live the life of the transgressor, and the way of the transgressor is hard. That's right. Folks say, well, you know, I'm outside the will of God and I'm having the time of my life. The way of the transgressor is hard, God said. I'm telling you what this book says. And so they said, we're going to go on an 11-day journey. God said, well, I'll get you there. But then when God brought them to the place and he said, now go on over and possess it, they thought that, well, they had a better idea. You'll never have an idea better than God's idea, nor will I. Amen. And the sooner we learn that, the better off we are in life. Isn't that right, brethren? Right. Now, it is. Listen, the times that I look back on my life and I have regret and remorse are the times where I took the wheel and said, I'll take it from here, God. Oh, I've made a mess of my life when I do that. I don't like the results when I take the wheel. But when we give God the reins and say, Lord, you are the Lord of my life. You show me. You lead me. It just turns out right when God leads, doesn't it? It just does. Now, it's not always smooth sailing. I didn't say it turned out easy. I said it turned out right, you see. So you get down to verse number 3, and it says, and it came to pass in the 40th year in the 11th month on the first day of the month. Now, here's what Moses spake. See, these be the words. You see that in verse number 1? These are the words that Moses spake. And we're going to find out what those words were in verse number 3. And by the way, this is what every Bible preacher does. This is what every Bible preacher does. Verse number 3 is going to describe Bible preaching. Churches ought to be built on Bible preaching. Amen. Amen. Not concerts. Not whatever dance, whatever they're doing now. You know, dancing around and gyrating around. And churches are not built on that. Churches are built on Bible preaching. God's churches are. Amen. Amen. And he said here, look at it. This is Bible preaching. Verse number 3. He said, on the 11th year, the 11th month, the first day of the month, that Moses spake unto the children of Israel, watch it now, according to all that the Lord had given him in commandment to them. So Moses got it from God and then gave it to the people. That's Bible preaching. You get it from God and you deliver it to the people. And so when we read through the book of Deuteronomy, I don't want you to forget this. When we begin to study this and to highlight some truths, now the book of Deuteronomy is built around five messages that Moses preached. He preaches five messages here in the book of Deuteronomy. And that's what our study is going to center around, where Moses gave them his farewell song. He said, I'm pulling off, all right? I'm pulling out. I'm departing this world. It's kind of like Paul, you know, the time of my departure is at hand. Well, Moses is getting ready to pull out of here. And he said, but before I do, he said, God has given me a message, actually five of them, and he said, I'm going to give them to you. And it do you well not to follow the example of your forefathers, right? They didn't listen too well. And they didn't fare too well either. And so he said, I want you to listen so that you can fare better than those before you. Because those who do not learn from history are doomed to repeat it. And he says, so you don't want to go there. And so I tell you the same. Maybe we know some folks that, you know, that God called them or they got saved and God gave them a work to do. And they said, well, you know what? I'm going to lay this work down and I'm going to do what I want to do in life. And it never ends well that way now. It never ends well. And so I don't know. Maybe, I don't know. I hope that if there is someone here tonight and God's called you to do something or God's laid something on your heart, you go with God now. You go with God. You'll never go wrong doing what God's called you to do. You'll never go wrong. So, he said in verse number 6, the Lord our God spake unto us in Horeb, saying, you have dwelt long enough in this mount. You see it? It's time to move on. I've given you an inheritance. And it's time for you to move on. I wonder if there's somebody perhaps even sitting here tonight and God said, you know what, you've dealt in this condition long enough. It's time for you to move on. You've been sitting around for too long. You have been in this condition that you've been in that I have something better for you and you know it. And it's time for you to get up and move on. There's been times in my life that God has come to me with pretty much that same message. And it's time to move on. Look at it again there in verse number 6. He said, you have dwelt long enough in this mount. What do you want me to do, God? Well, God will tell us what he wants us to do. That's one of the things that I love about these first three chapters. Listen, when I was reading through this, God was just feeding my soul. You read through this and God just gives instruction after instruction after instruction. Can I tell you that God wants to instruct our lives? God wants to guide us. God wants to speak to us, and he wants us to respond to his voice. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. God wants to speak, and he wants us to respond, and he wants us to react to his voice. And he wants us to do what he has spoken to us about doing. And so he said here, you've dwelt in this mount, verse 6, long enough. And then he said this, turn you and take your journey. Hey, man, that's what this whole first chapter 1 is about. It's about a journey. Actually, chapters 1, 2, and 3 is reviewing this journey that they took, right? He said, now it's time for you to take this journey. Turn you and take you your journey and go to the mount of the Amorites and into all the places nigh thereunto, in the plain and the hills and the vale and the south, and of the seaside and the land of the Canaanites. He said, that's what I've given you. He said, if you look in verse number 8, he said, behold, I set the land before you. Go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, to give it unto them and their seed after them. God said, I've given you an inheritance. I've given you a land. It's time to go for it. It's time to go get it. I wonder if God's giving you something. Maybe God's giving you a ministry. Maybe God's laid somebody on your heart. God does that. God will wake you up in the night and lay someone on your heart. And if you're not careful now, you'll pass it on to someone else. You'll raise your hand in church and say, hey, pray for so-and-so. I'd like for one of the preachers to go visit them. Well, God laid them on your heart. Amen. There's a reason God laid them on your heart. God wants to use you. He wants to bless you. But he wants to reach them. Let's learn to be obedient to the heavenly voice. When God speaks, if we would respond now and follow his leading, there's good things in store. Not just for us, but for those in whom God speaks to us about. God speaking to you about reaching someone? Is he? If he's not, there's probably a disconnect somewhere in your life. Because there are lost people all around us. There are people that are hurting all around us, brethren. Have you ever stopped just long enough to look into the faces of people out in public? Not long ago, and I'm trying to think what evangelist it was. I can't remember if it was R.B. Ouellette or Brother Moore, but we were out at a restaurant, and there was this young lady. And I'm trying to think of the brother's name. Somebody help me here. He used to be the maintenance man at the camp up here. Wayne Legan. And so we were sitting at the table, and there was this young lady who came up to as our waitress, and God just impressed on my heart. I looked into her face when she came to take our order, and as God is my witness, this young lady looked so distraught. It just touched my heart. And so I let her go, and when she left, before she left, she took her order, and before she left, I said, "Excuse me, young lady," I said, "what is your name?" And she told me her name. And I said, "Okay." And so she went, and I sit there, and there was conversation at the table, and I was kind of phased out. You know, when God speaks to your heart about something, it's hard to get into in-depth conversation. When she came back, she brought her food, and I said, I've got to ask you something. I said, God just spoke to my heart. You okay? Tears started rolling down her face. She started shaking her head like, "I can't believe this." I said, "I just want to check with you." I said, you look kind of distraught, young lady. I'd like to pray for you. I said, "Can we have prayer for you?" And she shook her head. She couldn't even talk. She just shook her head. And so we had prayer for her, and I witnessed to her, and I told her who I was. She said, "I know who you are." I said, "You do?" She said, "Yeah." She said, "You know my grandfather." And I said, "Who is your grandfather?" And she told me. And the long story short, she said, "You know, I used to be in church," and she gave me a little bit of her testimony or situation. I mean, that's just sad, isn't it? That's sad that people are in that condition. But, you know, they're everywhere. Can I tell you, people like that are everywhere. You do know that. There's people that are hurting. There's people that are lost. There's people that are out of church. There's people that are disconnected. There's people that feel like that there's no hope, there's no help, that nothing can help them. Listen, Jesus can help anyone that has a problem. He's the answer. You believe that? I do. If I didn't believe that, I'd quit preaching. Hey, man, I'm being transparent with you. If I didn't believe Jesus could meet every need of every person that I come in contact with, I'd quit preaching. I mean, what kind of God do you want to have that's limited? If your God is limited, he's not God. Amen. The only limitations that God has on him are the ones we place on him. Yeah. And so the book of Deuteronomy, it's a book that, well, it states the law. It interprets it. It tells the people, "I want you to go to a land, and I've got some instructions for you. There's a way I want you to live when you get in the land." If you turn over just for a moment, this may be where we close. I've got a life. There's life lessons in the book, and I'm just going to give you one. There's many, many, many. And each week that we cover a chapter or a section, I'm going to try to give you a life lesson. But before we do that, I want to ask you a question. Somebody raise your hand and tell me where the Ten Commandments are in the Bible, the Old Testament. Somebody raise your hand. Do you have your hand up, Sister Diane? Exodus chapter 20. And Deuteronomy chapter 5. Do you teach your children the Ten Commandments? See, if we're not careful, we people of grace think, well, the Ten Commandments mean nothing. You sure? Ten Commandments are very important. I find it kind of disturbing that we would fight if a courtroom takes down the Ten Commandments and we don't even know what they are. If we heard of a judge who said, I don't want the Ten Commandments in my courtroom, we'd be on fire. We'd be wondering why people not up there protesting. Can you stand up and name them? We don't make much out of the Ten Commandments anymore, but I'm going to tell you something. God does. God does. Can I encourage you to do something? I'm not trying to shame you. I'm not. Many of you do know the Ten Commandments, okay? But can I encourage you to do something? Young people, look right up here at your preacher, okay? Know the Ten Commandments, okay? You say, I already do. Good. This Sunday night, if we can pray this blizzard back. Amen. This Sunday night, I want to give some of our young folks opportunity to stand. We've been quoting scripture on Sunday nights. I'm going to give you an opportunity to stand and just name the Ten Commandments. You don't have to quote them, but if you quote them, that'd be really good. All right, let's go over. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Right? So, amen. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt make no graven image or likeness. Is that the second one? Yes, sir. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. God said, I'll not hold you. Listen, you won't be guiltless. Isn't that what he said? Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Now, those are the God work. Now we're going to get to the man word, right? Honor thy father and thy mother, right? You want it to be well with you in this life? You want to have longevity of days? Honor thy father and thy mother. Amen. Yeah, I know this is not popular in our day. I don't preach what's popular. I'm telling you what the word says. Amen. Honor thy father and thy mother. Thou shalt not kill. Right? Thou shalt not commit adultery. Not even in 2022. Amen. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Right? We're getting close. I said thou shalt not kill twice, I think. Thou shalt not bear false witness. And thou shalt not covet. Yeah. Now that's not quoting them. That's the Ten Commandments. You know the Ten Commandments? You ought to know the Ten Commandments. You ought to teach them to your children and your grandchildren. It means something. God gave them twice. That's what the book of Deuteronomy, that's what the very name means, the second giving of the law. Right? Life lessons. Let's get one and then we'll close for tonight. All right? Good life lesson. I think it'll help you. I want you men to really listen up. How many of you men have fought a battle that you wish you'd have never started? Look at you. You're afraid. She don't mind you raising your hand. We've all fought battles. Can I tell you that when I get to chapter 2, the Bible, there's a great life lesson here. You read through the Old Testament, you say, what am I going to learn from something that happened hundreds of years ago? Well, you'd be amazed what God will teach you if you'll let him. Amen. There's many in chapter 1, but this one intrigued me, so I want to share it with you. So you get to chapter 2, and we go from journeying to battling. All right? So you go to journeying to the land, and then once you get in the land, God said, you're going to have to fight some fights over there. Right? Yeah, the land's occupied. They're not going to just lay down and let you take the land. He said, but I'm going to fight your battles for you. Well, that's a great life lesson. God will fight your battles. But I want you to remember this now. Choose your battles. Choose wisely. You ever met these folks who want to fight about everything? I'm serious. I mean, they just want to fight. I mean, everything. They just want to fight. I used to know a preacher down south, and his saying was, I'll fight at the drop of a hat. I thought, my goodness. And then he would say, and I'll drop the hat. I thought, oh, wow, man. Heart full of compassion. Amen. Hey, some folks live their life that way. They're just contentious. They're just looking for a fight. Well, it won't take too long. You'll get in some you wish you wouldn't have gotten into. That'll change you. God wants you to choose your battles. Let me show you what I'm talking about. So you get over to chapter number 2, and God says, now when you journey into that land from the wilderness, and you go, and he said, I'm going to lead you, and he said, I'm going to guide you every step of the way. You get down to chapter 2, verse 4, and he said, when you go by your brethren, the children of Esau, which dwell in Seir, and they shall be afraid of you, he said, take you good heed unto yourselves, therefore, meddle not with them. Amen. Don't go meddling around with them. That's right. It's good advice. There's some people you just need not to meddle with. God said, don't meddle with them. He said, I've already settled up with them. If you'll read it then, he said, I gave that. I've given Mount Seir unto Esau for a possession. Look at the last verse, number 5. He says, so don't meddle with them. Don't meddle with them. All right? Then he says this in verse number 9. And the Lord said unto me, Moses, distress not the Moabites, neither contend with them in battle. Now this chapter, you go home and read it tonight, it's about battle. It's about fighting and contending and taking the land that God had given them. But he said, there's just some battles you don't want to fight. You let me take care of some things. Amen. The children of Israel had learned this the hard way. And you go back, you'll see where at the end of chapter number 1, after they said, we're not going to go into the land, and God said, okay, then your carcass is going to fall in the wilderness. They said, oh, well, we're going to go in the land. God said, no, I don't want you to go. They tried to go anyway. They got chased like the Bible says, like bees were chasing them. And many of them fell by the way of the sword. See, you fight when God says fight. But you don't meddle and you don't contend. Look at it again in verse number 9, and you don't distress when God says don't. There's just some battles that God doesn't want you fighting. Amen. Live to fight another day. That's right. Not everything is settled with a battle. Sometimes you have to extend the olive branch. Amen. But I know I'm an independent Baptist through and through. But if we're not careful now, we'll get so contentious, we'll think that, well, we've got to fight for it all. Well, listen, Jesus done won the fight. We're not fighting for victory. We're fighting from victory. You let Jesus give the instructions and let's follow them. Let's let him take the lead. Amen. And you read through this chapter too. Look over in verse number 19. You read through it. It's amazing how God just guides them. He'll say, I want you to do this, but I don't want you to do this. And I want you to do this, but I don't want you to do this. Great life lesson right here in the second chapter of a book like Deuteronomy. There's a time to fight and there's a time not to fight. There's a season for this and there's a season for that. Sometimes God just says, don't meddle with that. Don't you mess with that. I've got that taken care of. You just go this way. He said it again in verse number 19. And when thou comest nigh over against the children of Ammon, he said, distress them not, nor meddle with them. He said, don't do it. Don't do it. And sometimes God will tell me that. And sometimes God will tell you that. God will say, I've got that taken care of. You just go on and follow my instructions. Don't mess with that. I've got that taken care of. Brethren, it do us good now to be in tune with the voice of God when it comes to these matters. Well, I'm looking forward to getting into the book of Deuteronomy. I have all kinds of notes that I won't even get into. I just want to lay a little foundation tonight. It's an exciting book. I've really enjoyed studying the book of Deuteronomy again. I've preached through the book of Deuteronomy, not here, but I preached through the book of Deuteronomy maybe 20 plus years ago. And I really enjoyed it. And as I've gone through it again, I've really enjoyed my study of this book. And I was reminded of some things that I hope that God will allow me to bring out and that would help you and help us as we go through the book. All right, let's stand up and we'll have a word of prayer.